How many of us have watched people change careers or change professions and thought to ourselves, wow, that must be really difficult? On the surface, it may look difficult, but it does not have to be. The reason most of us are going to change jobs at least once in our lives is because the reality is that as we evolve as individuals, we're still trying to figure out what it is we want to be when we grow up. And in some instances, we may go from changing from one employer to another employer to just going from changing from one profession to a whole new one. But if you're thinking about making the change or exploring making the change, you should have a few things in the back of your mind that you consider when you are making the transition from one employer to another or from one career to another. Hey everyone, this is Reeves, and I'm going to talk to you about some things that you need to think about when you're transitioning or pivoting from one profession or career to another. If you are in the process of evaluating whether it is time for you to make a move professionally or just change employers altogether, I want to share with you 8 different things that you need to keep in your mind so that when you go into this, you know exactly what you should be looking for so that you can make a move that works best for you. First thing I want you to do is to think about your pay scale. If you are getting an opportunity to go work for someplace, you are probably thinking that any job that pays you more than what you're getting paid currently is a good thing. But I would encourage you to look deeper than that. Whenever you're going to try to go look at a new job, you need to look at what the pay scale of that job is. And what I mean by pay scale is I want you to look at is what is the most you can make in that position. If the starting salary is maybe, you know, a little bit more than what you're making, that may seem great, but let's assume that the range is only about $10,000 to $15,000 more over a period of time. You may find yourself in a situation where you may have a great job going in, but you may cap out in terms of how much you can make in that job in a very short period of time. And you also want to ask the question, what does it take to move up in a higher pay scale? Meaning, are you just going to get normal annual increases just based on the time that you've been there? Or are those increases in terms of the amount of money you're making based on your performance? Then you need to determine what performance you need to achieve. You may think that it is crazy, but stop and think about this for a second. If they have specific performance markers that they expect you to make and you don't make those markers, you could find yourself in a situation where you are doing the job satisfactorily, but they need you to do a little bit more in order for you to get a pay raise. And so you may find yourself being stuck in a pay scale for a longer period of time than you normally would have expected. And then, as I mentioned before, if you max out your pay scale in a short period of time, that means for however long you plan on staying with that employer, that's the most you're going to make. So if you're looking at it on the outside, it may not seem that bad because getting the starting salary going in is great. But after you've maxed your pay for a number of years, you may start to find yourself getting frustrated because your living expenses are based on a salary that you've maintained for a long period of time that hasn't changed. The second thing you should think about is the probationary period. A lot of employers have a particular period of time where there is an expectation that you are going to perform work on a trial basis to determine whether or not they can make you a permanent employee. But be careful about being put in that position, because if you're in a job that has a short probationary period, like, you know, 30 to 90 days, it may not seem a whole lot or cause any disruption if they determine that it's not working out. However, if you're with an employer where they have probationary periods up to a year or longer, this might cause you some concern if you're worried that you're being so heavily scrutinized that even after a year, they may find a basis to release you. And more important, that year may result in having a period of time where they may not allocate any funds for you for access to other benefit programs until after the probation period has been extended. So it's important that whenever they outline that you have work with them, that you have to work with them for a probationary period, that you have a clear understanding of exactly what their expectations are So this way you can meet those expectations and not put yourself in jeopardy of being let go. And also, how many of you have found yourself in a situation where you had plans to do things during that time period, i.e. the probationary time period? So follow me with me on this. Imagine where you changed jobs and you had a trip to go overseas that you had scheduled for the longest. Now, when you worked for your former employer, you had actually built a leave up, so it wasn't a big deal that now that you're going to go on vacation. But now you're going to a new employer where you're starting off from scratch. Now, this is going to sound kind of weird, but you can't automatically go in there with the expectation that they're going to honor that time off. During that probationary period, they're expecting that you're going to be there for a period of time consistently. And if you got a week or two vacation that you've had lined up for the longest, at best, they may tell you that you can take leave without pay because, of course, they're not going to pay you during the time of your probationary period because you have not earned the time yet. Or worse, they may tell you that this is not going to work because they need whoever they are hiring to be on during this probationary period in its entirety. So you want to make sure you figure all that out going in. The third thing you should focus on is your leave. Most people think about leave in terms of two things, which is personal leave and then sick leave. And those things you want to find out right out of the gate. So those are good things to know. But you also want to ask the question is, how much do you have leave do you get when you start? Do you get it automatically as a block of leave, or do you have to earn the leave? In terms of sick leave, you want to know, is there a specific amount that you're allocated per year? Or is it the same thing where you have to actually earn the leave? But here's the other leave that you should be asking about as well. Think about anything in your life that may occur that may result in you having to take leave outside of your personal and sick leave. Think about anything in your life that may occur that may result in you having to take leave outside of those two scenarios. For instance, there are some employees that will grant you leave for religious reasons. So if you have a faith where you have to take specific things or do specific things occurring during the year, your employer may actually allow you to take leave on that time and that it may not count against your sick or your personal leave. Some employers have administrative type leaves that take in consideration weird things that pop up, like natural disasters or, you know, weird unexpected circumstances that occurs. So this way you shouldn't have to take leave for something that you didn't anticipate. And your employer may absorb that leave knowing that this was something that was beyond your control. In any event, when you ask about leave, you should be thinking about all those scenarios, whether it be religious, whether they be emergency, personal, or any type of leave, so that you can have that addressed right out of the gate. The fourth thing you should be focusing on is, what do you consider advancement? How many times have people said, or you've asked an employer, what are the opportunities for advancement? And if you're dealing with a good employer, they'll tell you that there are opportunities. But what you should be doing is asking yourself is, what type of advancements are you looking to achieve? Are you looking for an opportunity to move up in leadership position from maybe a line worker to a lead worker to a supervisor? Are you looking to move up from the floor to the corporate offices? Are you looking to move from your particular career path to a completely different career path within the employer? So many times people use the word advancement, but they don't have a clear idea of what they want to do in terms of advancement. So you need to start asking yourself at the very beginning that if you're looking to advance professionally, what exactly is it that you are trying to achieve? So this way you know that when you're talking to the employer, you'll know exactly what it is that you're trying to do so that you can tell whether they have those opportunities. And more importantly, you can ask them what the pathways they are in order for you to achieve those things. The fifth thing you need to ask about is vesting period. Now, for those of you who don't know what vesting is, let me kind of break this down thing for you. Vesting is a situation where if you have worked for an employer and paid into their 401k or retirement system, and you've been there for a certain number of years, this will allow you the opportunity to qualify to receive retirement monies based on when you pay it in once you've hit a particular retirement age. I know that sounds convoluted, but just think of it like this. If you pay into their retirement plan, they are wanting you to work with them for a specific period before you're eligible to receive those monies when you retire. Why is that important to you? Well, if they are investing in you to be there a certain number of years and you don't plan on being there that long, You need to think about how you're going to move that money if that money is available to you. In some instances, if you are dealing with an employer that has a 401k matching where they pay whatever you need to get in terms of matching your contributions, you may be entitled to receive your contributions back from the employer once you leave before you actually vest. Or you may actually have the ability to roll that over to another 401k of another company that you're working with. Also, if you decide to stay long enough to vest, you may decide that if you leave that company, that you don't want to take that money with you, that you want that money to stay with them and so you can collect retirement from them later on. Now, all those things you need to consider, either way, you need to know what the vesting structure is so that if you know you are not going to be there for the entire time and you want to take the money back with you on the way out the door, you can see if it's possible to either roll it over or have the money reimbursed. Either way, you should be making those decisions early on so you can figure out what impact that's going to have on you depending on how long you're going to work for that employer. Sixth thing you should think about is moving and making moves. If you are working with a small mom and pop shop, that might be one thing. However, if you're going to work with a large employer, you got to keep a couple of things in mind. One, if you're going to get hired by them and you're coming from a different location, you might want to investigate to see if there's any programs with regards to paying for moving expenses or reimbursing you for moving expenses. If you're moving from one part of the city to another, that might not be a big deal. But if you have to leave the state or go cross country or even across from one country to another, it can be very expensive. So you want to know those things ahead of time. So here, the other thing you need to ask, another thing you need to ask is whether or not if you have an advancement within the company, are there opportunities for relocation expenses? So let's assume you're working for a job in Miami doing one job and then you get an opportunity to get hired or promoted to a job in Chicago. Let's say you're working in Miami, you get promoted to Chicago. On its face, that may sound great, but do you need to know, are they going to move you to Chicago? Now, your employer may tell you that they'll pay you a new pay raise. They may give you extra time for the move that may not count against your leave, but they may not pay to move you. They may tell you that you're on your own to find your own place, to get rid of your old place, to make the transition accordingly. So you need to factor all those things. And more importantly, you need to know what is the culture that you're in so that if those opportunities present themselves, you know that's going to factor a role in your decision making. Seventh thing that you should think about is asking the question is, what else do you have? Now, you're going to sit here and say, that's a pretty wide open statement. The reason why I mentioned it is because there are a lot of times when people go into jobs that they're so fixated on the big things like personal leave, retirement, sick leave, and pay, that they often forget that a lot of times employers have a lot of different programs that people do not even take advantage of when they are working there. It could be a variety of things like discounts at different stores, travel opportunities, opportunities to participate in specific committees that gives you access and exposures to new relationships with people who may create opportunities for you to do things in the future, or even educational opportunities for you to advance yourself educationally. The reason these things are important is because you cannot just merely go in and think that them giving you money and good leave and benefits is great and just leave it static. You need to look and see if they have got other things that you could take advantage of that could benefit you in the long run. And not only is it important for you to know what those things are, but if you do not know how to take advantage of them, you will never know what benefit they can provide you. Remember, all of those things add up over time. And the eighth and final thing you should be thinking about is this. Is this helping you progress? Sometimes in our interest and pursuit of obtaining more funds for ourselves, we don't stop and take a moment to say, how does this or taking on this new career or profession or new employer benefit me in the long run? We don't ask ourselves the question is, am I going to acquire new skills that helps me progress towards whatever direction I'm trying to achieve? If you are leaving a job that you were at for a long period of time and you were just anxious to leave, you may be more focused on putting yourself into a more favorable financial situation as opposed to looking at the bigger picture. Unfortunately, what ends up happening is that once you have gotten over the honeymoon period of getting paid more money, You may find yourself in this position of wondering if the position that you took was worth it in terms of the added income, if it did not put you in a position where either you gain greater skills or greater opportunities or greater exposures to persons who could help you advance. All of those things have to be considered, because if you do not think about those things, you are wasting the one asset that you can't get back, and that's your time. In the end, when you're at that point in your life, when you're thinking about changing jobs or changing professions, it's extremely important that you take a moment to assess whether or not making this move is going to help you beyond merely financial. If you truly consider yourself a work in progress, then it is important to recognize that any move that you make must help you progress as well. So when you're deciding to pivot to something new and improve, just make sure of a couple of things. One, we know that it's going to be new, and that's important. But two, also make sure that it improves you.